Welcome to Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. I'm your host, Julie Otaku. This is a podcast about blackness and its many intersections ranging from politics to fashion, music to activism, academia to art, sex work to healthcare, and so on and so forth. Guest appearances from professionals in their respective fields will provide insight and unique perspectives to the issues discussed. Sit back, listen, laugh, think, and consider new perspectives as you join me across the mic. Joining me today is Mil Nalis, aka Branded by Mil, creator of social media agency Mil Nalis Media and the current recently launched networking company Created to Create. Mil Nalis is an alumnus of Lynn College, where she received her bachelor's in fashion merchandising and is a Bronx native with deep roots in her Dominican descent. Thank you so much for coming on my show today.
No problem. Hi.
Hello. Hello. What motivated you to pursue that as a career?
So I always knew I was going to end up in fashion somehow. I started designing when I was like 5-6 years old. My mom still has my dresses to this day that I would make for her. I would sketch them up. But when it came time to college, like, I went through a phase that I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I learned that that wasn't going to work out.
That's exactly. Way different. That's
that
way
wasn't going to work out at all, because I'm extremely allergic to some animals. Mostly all of them. So how could it be a vet, you know? So I just had to give up my vet dream. When it came to college time, I was scared to present that idea to my mom, like, about going to school for fashion, but not really, because she always kind of knew. But when I told her, she had no issue. And she just was like, okay, like, let's do it. If that's what you want to do, let's do it. Like, she didn't give me any pushback, which is what has allowed me to be as successful as I am.
That's beautiful. I'm really glad that you had that kind of support system, because most of the time when you present something that people would assume is more lucrative, like the job of a veterinarian, your parents would be like, yeah, you should go with this one. And anything else, you'd be like, I don't know, you might not make money, you might not be the best at it. But the fact that you have your mom in your corner to the point where she kept your dresses that you designed for when you were like six, that's awesome.
I think what played into it as well is the fact that she, my mom's actually a designer herself. She just couldn't pursue it because she never had the funds, because she's immigrant, you know, from the Dominican Republic. So she didn't really go to she couldn't go to college. Like, she couldn't pursue that. But once I decided that that's what I wanted to do, I think it was like, okay, cool. Like, at least if I didn't do it, my daughter's going to do it. So, and it was never forced at all. So I'm very, it worked out. And people hear fashion, but they think like, oh, it's drawing in a room and this. Bro, I went to school for fashion business, which I took business law, I took accounting, I took some consumer psychology. I never drew in a classroom, like, at all. Like, it had nothing to do with, like, actual fashion, like drawing, sketching. I did that on my own. I learned on YouTube. My account, like, my classes were marketing based, psychology. I took a lot of psychology courses, like, just psychology, not fashion or nothing, just psychology, science courses. Yeah. But it's basically studying the mind and how to get people to buy more of what you already presented to them. So that's what I got my degree in.
That's so awesome. And that's the perfect segue into Created to Create, because I remember the first time I stumbled upon your page, y'all listeners, the aesthetic and layout on her page is gorgeous. It is consistent. You keep the same color palette. The content is very, very familiar. Like, if I was to see a picture of yours on any other page, I would think, okay, Mil Nalis definitely. Yeah. Has some part in this, from the way it's filtered to the color choices. It's very specific and intentional. Yeah. So you now saying that you studied fashion psychology, that makes perfect sense, because you definitely do use those eye-grabbing colors. I remember I did some project for one of my journalism classes, and we had to study advertising to some degree, and there was a whole color wheel.
Yes.
Then it went into different emotions and stuff that were brought out of a person when they saw, like, the color red and yellow from McDonald's. Like, red and yellow supposedly
makes you feel hungry. So if you think about it, my bad for cutting you off. If you think about it,
now you're good.
Like, anytime you go to a chicken spot or something, I don't know who's listening, but like in New York City, we have chicken spots like on every corner. And McDonald's and all that. If you think about it, the big food places, KFC, everything, it has red. Red makes you hungry. Like that red, the color red itself makes you hungry. Every chicken spot is red. Think about it.
See, like that, that right there, that's science.
Not for real.
That's science.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Now, with Created to Create, you launched that recently. First off, a major congratulations. Major, major congratulations. Because I remember when you had first started making posts about it, and I was like, oh, I guess this is a company that's already, like, at least out and she's working on it. But I didn't know it hadn't officially launched yet. What was that process like from idea to you setting up the page and then the long road to launching it? How was that?
Honestly, depressing. Now I'm playing, guys. It was really like a lot. The reason it was a lot is because I never in my life wanted to be a CEO, and I still don't want to be a CEO, but I guess that's what God called me to do, and that's what I'm doing. I was very confused. I still kind of am very confused. I never think that I know it all because I don't. And that's why it was really hard for me, because I'm like, damn, so now I have a company. So now people believe in what I want to put into the marketplace. How do I keep them engaged? It was the pressure of like, okay, I have this platform. How can I keep people engaged, like on the platform? How can I just not burn out in a sense? I'm very much a squirrel. All my friends call me that. My family, like my mind is everywhere at all times, 1,000 miles per hour, doing a bunch of different projects or a bunch of different things. So when it came to like, okay, this is yours, and now this is like your child, like now you have to like pay attention to this one specific thing and whatever. It's just, it was a lot. And then I wanted to launch in March, so we officially like came out in January 15th. But then I couldn't launch. I was gonna launch in March, like officially, like throw an event to the public, and I couldn't because of COVID was at an all-time crazy high. That was literally the week it started. So my venue canceled, everything canceled, all the money was returned to me, everything. So I was stressed.
Okay, at least you got the money back.
Exactly. No, I would have got the money back. But I was very stressed, and I was just like, damn, I already told people that I was gonna launch now, so what am I gonna do? So then what I had pre-planned was to throw that event in March to keep people like, you know, interested, but then to also throw an event on my birthday, like around my birthday. I was supposed to throw a networking panel, right? But then cold.
My birthday
was October 13th, so that's when I just officially launched. So COVID definitely screwed the whole launch situation up, but it's whatever. Everything happens for a reason. I didn't get to launch, but I definitely threw a couple online events. But now officially in October we launched, and in January I'll throw an in-person event. Hopefully COVID slows down.
Yeah, I've got my fingers crossed for you, because I can imagine what that must have felt like to build up all this momentum, this hype. You've got people waiting for it, and then you couldn't deliver. Were people very understanding?
Oh no, yeah, everybody
when they saw the reason.
Yeah, everybody was 100% understanding. They were scared, honestly, because I was still gonna go with it. I was like, screw yeah, the world is not ending. It's cool. Like I was very much that person when the beginning of COVID. I was like, y'all really gonna stay home right now? Like, you know, like I was trying to get my team to like understand, like, yo, what? Like, you know. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, it got to a point where others were scared to come. So I didn't want to do all this work for them and have panelists come out and everything for then no one to show up. Like that's not what I wanted. So I just canceled it, and then now we did it October. But in January, hopefully. And even if we can't do it in January, I'm planning on throwing what me and my team are planning on is having to, if we have to go digital with this conference, then we're gonna do it. But if we could do it in person, then we're gonna do it. But we're throwing a conference in January. So
that's beautiful. You already had like backup plans in case it didn't work out. So even though, as you say, you're like the squirrel and your brain's like going miles a minute, you, when it comes to this, at least when it comes to your baby, you were focused and you were able to nail down what you needed to do and how it needed carried out while considering the feelings and health of other people. So I want to give you props.
Thank you.
And definitely highlight that, because it takes a lot to be a CEO, as you said, and then have to make those critical decisions like on a dime and just have to cut corners and make quick decisions, because a lot of us had to do that at the beginning of the pandemic.
Exactly. And then it's adjusting to it in a way that it doesn't drastically change your comfort company's vision and mission, because a lot of people during COVID, at least I've noticed, they have adjusted the entire company culture and everything to try to make it cooler online. But what they're not realizing is that when all of this lifts up and when all of this is over, they're going to have to translate that same exact message online in person. And I think that's where a lot of companies are going to disconnect. And it's just, precisely. It's a lot. It's a lot to keep up. Like, you have to keep the same presence online as you do in person. And I'll execute that by like any event that I throw, it's literally going to look like a Fiji, Hawaii, like stuff like that. Like, I like plants. I like green stuff, which is all over the Instagram.
Yes, your page reflects it. It's beautiful. As we speak right now, I'm scrolling through it. There are like different transitions between when you first started the page.
Yeah.
It was like very warm colors, oranges, auburn.
So when I first started, my colors were orange and pink. So now, like I keep mentioning January, right? We turn a year. So in a year, in January, I think I'm going to drop, I'm working on clothes as we speak. So I think I'm going to drop different colorways.
Beautiful.
And one of the colorways is that orange and pink. We just dropped crew necks. I don't know if you noticed, we have pre-orders. So that goes out this week. But in January,
I'm trying to drop. Okay, so I'm copying one.
Of course. In January, I'm trying to drop like official, like, you know, hoodies, crew necks, stuff like that.
Yeah, merchandise.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. But my official colors are orange and pink. So if you scroll down, and I was going to erase it. So I was going to erase all of it and just like take that part of the Instagram out. But I think as a company, I should have just kept it because it shows people like the evolution in a sense. So I got rid of some of it, but not all of it. But you see the pink, like it goes from pink to like orange and emerald. And you notice.
Yes, the orange and emerald is gorgeous. Yeah. It is such a great color combination. It looks really, really good. Where do you source some of these? No problem. Where do you source some of these images?
All of these images come from Pinterest or Instagram. 100%. 100%. None of them I've shot myself. The goal is, after COVID, it chills out a little. My goal is to throw events globally, to travel. So I will someday just produce the content myself with my life, like me traveling, my friends traveling. Like that's the goal with the account. But yeah, as of right now, it's Pinterest and Instagram.
That's so awesome. And do you have any experience with photography, or you would hire somebody as part of your team to do that?
I mean, I have some experience because I wouldn't say I'm a photographer, because photographers, I think, will murder me if I say that. If I say what I'm about to say.
No. Claim it.
I don't think I'm a photographer. I'm a blogger. So I always have to take pictures. So I know how to take pictures. A lot of the pictures you see on C2C have been edited. So like, not edited like, oh, a pore here, a pore there. No, like if the girl's wearing a red dress, I recolor that entire dress orange so it can match my feed.
See, so that goes into graphics.
So that's like what, yeah. So I
know how to
a
do
lot of the stuff graphics is like that. Like
Photoshop.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is like that. I just do it on my iPad and I recolor so it can match. So I use the same orange. I recolor sofas all the time. I'm about to send you, you're going to laugh really hard. I'm going to send you a before and after. And I showed this when we threw an online conference for social media on C2C, and everybody was shocked. They were like, what the heck? How did you do that? But that's how I get my stuff to, that's the trick to the sauce. That's how I get a lot of my stuff to match. Okay, so boom. I'm about to show you. This is before and this is after. I'm about to mess with this to you and you're going to laugh.
Got it. That's the perfect segue into social media and just how you have your online presence, because you post pretty consistently.
Every single day. Except for Sunday.
Every single day. Look at you. Got to rest on the Sabbath.
Jesus, exactly. I don't work for nobody.
Exactly. God didn't work on
Sundays. Exactly. I don't work for nobody but God on Sundays. And I say that to my clients. Like, I let them know. Like, I don't.
That's awesome. So you're even consistent in your branding. That's perfect.
Yeah, I cannot. I mean, so basically, like, with profession-wise, like social media, I've seen the power of social media, which is why I decided to, like, get into it. I started off as an intern for a company, a fashion company in social media. And I was like, I wasn't hype at all. I was very, very like, whatever. Right. But then I started it and I'm like, oh, I really like this. I like being able to translate a brand's message without nobody knowing who's doing it. Like, it's just, I love that. So I started off as an intern, and like 2 months in, they ended up putting me as their like social media and marketing like coordinator. coordinator. So they leveled me up and I've stood with them for 3 years and they're still my family. I love those people so much. But then I decided to depart and start my own agency. But that's where I learned like the bread and butter of everything, like with them. It's a small business in the city.
Got it. That's awesome. Congratulations. Like that just goes to show if you put yourself out there, you choose to explore something and you find out you're good at it, you will either be compensated or recognized.
Exactly. I went there. I was very salty at first because I went there since they're a fashion company that makes flowers out of fabric for designers or for celebrities. So Rihanna's wore their flowers, Nick Cannon, any flower that you've ever, LeBron James, any flower that you've seen ever, like on a runway, Marc Jacobs, Victoria's Secret, like it comes from their office and they all are handmade in New York. So when I got the internship there, it was mostly like, hey, like I just want to get my foot in the door and then I'm going to become this crazy designer and I will see these cool people, whatever, you know? And that's how it started. But then a long time, I'm just like, nah, I love it. I love the department that I'm in. And I've seen a lot of cool things. Like we did all the flowers for Crazy Rich Asians. So I was there in the production for that.
No, you yes, didn't. Like all the, no, you
I promise.
Didn't.
It's on the Instagram page. Yeah.
Yo.
It's a dress. It's everything. Yeah. It's the dress, the bouquet, the, you know, the wedding scene where I have all those flowers come from the warehouse. Now
I cried like a child watching that scene. You had a part of that.
I posted it too. It's on the company's account and I posted it on my stuff. I love everything about flowers and it's creepy, but I view my life in seasons. So I've always had a correlation with flowers. Like my mom even says it, like when I was a little girl, if she let me pick what I'm wearing, it was always flowers. Everything in my room was flowers. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, I realized like I'm basically a flower, if that makes sense. Because
no, that's not creepy, like you said, that's beautiful. I'm listening.
No, it's okay, thank you. Because some seasons I would say I bloom, you know, I bloom into this beautiful woman, I would say. But then other seasons I don't grow. But regardless, other seasons I don't bloom, but regardless I'm still growing, if that makes sense. So I know some seasons are going to be better than others, but I'm just happy. And I keep plants all around me. I like fake flowers. So that's where that job came from. They're all fake. Like the dress on the Crazy Rich Asian Girl. It's pretty dope. So I'm not mad at that.
That is so cool. And first of all, that's a beautiful metaphor. Yeah. That's not creepy in the slightest. That is something very intimate and specific to your personhood. So don't downplay it. Don't say it's creepy. Don't put out a disclaimer. Just say it as it is.
Thank you.
No problem. That's a trip. I'm still stuck on the fact that you had a part in Crazy Rich Asians.
Man. Their flowers are amazing.
Wow. Nah, y'all did an amazing job. Now I have to watch the movie and I'm gonna watch it like damn. Wow, those plants aren't real. That's crazy.
Like, damn.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. That's so impressive. So you've got so many different talents. You kill it on social media. You've got an eye for design and color, and you're able to micromanage so many different things on the fly. And the whole time, it seems like you do it with a beautiful beat face, just full of makeup. Like, how are you able to just manage all these things at the same time? And have you always had an eye for makeup, or it's something that you developed over time?
Okay, so yeah. Makeup? When I started off, my life with makeup is just very shaky. When I started off, it was like, okay, this is cool. Like, you know, like probably 4 year ago, the most you did was like, her eyebrows. Like, I didn't really, you know, do anything. Now, that's not me at all. I completely do my face. And it depends, honestly. Like, there's days, like, I can honestly say, so today I'm wearing makeup, like, for later, but I haven't touched my face for makeup in, like, a week. So there's times where I just don't do makeup at all. But my love for makeup, I don't know, it's just being able to you know when you have a perception of yourself in your head and you want to look that way, like that's just what I execute. I'm just like, today I'm gonna look like this. So I'm gonna go crazy and I'm gonna add a bunch of eyeliner and I'm gonna go stupid. Or I'm just like, no, today I'm gonna look chill. So let me do all this. Or today I'm going to look like me and I'm not gonna do anything. You know, know, and people see me without makeup, they see me with makeup, and I pretty much look the same. It's just coverage. I don't do the most. All of my friends, I would say my love for makeup sparked recently, like in this past year, because my sister's a makeup artist, my little sister, and all of my friends are like YouTube, Instagram bloggers. Like, that's just the world that I'm in. Like, my girls are all into that. Like, they do tutorials, they do,
it's a beautiful world, honestly.
Yeah, like they do that.
I remember when I first followed you, I was just like, it's just a world of beautiful Black women. It looked like heaven to me.
Oh, thank you.
Like heaven.
That's what they do. And I'm just like, and then everybody, it's funny being in that realm, because then everybody's like waiting on you, like, so when's the tutorial gonna come, or like, when are you gonna teach us something? And I was like, my man, like, I do so much other stuff. I'm gonna let my friends do that, and like, that's their amazing cake and butter that we love. I cannot, bro. Like, give me a second, you know. But everybody always, okay, show us the eyebrow tutorial or this or that. I'm like, my man, there's a lot of work right now. Like, people downplay the work that goes into being like a YouTuber, a blogger, and stuff like that. It's so much behind the scenes that people don't see. That is just insane.
You raise a very good point. I want you to speak to how you're able to, you know, basically maintain sanity, because you're already scatterbrained in your own words. How are you able to maintain peace? Like, how do you relax?
I cry a lot.
You're not. Really?
I cry so much. Like, I'm literally like a crybaby. Like, it's so bad. But like, not, I would say not just random breakouts, but like when I'm very stressed or when I'm very anxious. For example, I have a huge deadline due in like 2 days and I haven't even started it, but it's okay. When I get into these type of modes, I literally cry it out. My friends know this. I'm just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? Like, I break out crying. And then after I break out crying, I'm fine and I get it done. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, I don't know why I stress out in this. But that has helped me a lot, just expressing my emotions in my house and not keeping them in. Because I feel like a lot of times as an entrepreneur or as a, I don't even like calling myself that, or like an influencer, I still don't like calling myself that. Like, a lot of times in this field, like, people tend to just shut down their emotions and not feel them because they're scared of how they're going to be viewed. And I'm like, nah, when I feel a type of way, like, my friends know, like, yeah, we speak. I'm just like, nah, like, this ain't it. I can't do it no more. And they're like, relax, you're going to be fine. And I always end up fine, but that's how I handle all my stuff. A lot of crying, a lot of praying. I pray so much. God first and then crying, but God always first. And I pray so much and I seek God so much. Sorry, guys. I don't know who's listening. I don't know what you believe, but like, I believe in God. So yeah.
Hey, this is about you.
No, I know, but I'm just being respectful.
It's about you. It's okay.
I'm very respectful.
Of course.
But yeah, I've had my fair share of encounters, you know, with God, for me to know that he's real. And that ties into like my career and C2C in a sense, because if it wasn't for, so I was legally blind for 6 years.
Whoa.
I couldn't see. Like, I saw barely. I saw 2 points. I was like 10 points away from being completely blind. So it got progressive. It was very, very hard for me to see. But even me being legally blind, I still, and I have the paperwork and everything. It's on my mood board in my room. Even me being legally blind from 16 to 22. Yeah, from 16 to 22. It was 21. From 16 to 21. I basically always had a clear vision. I knew that I was going to be successful. I just knew. So it got to a point where the doctors told me, like, look, if you don't get this surgery done ASAP, you're going to be completely blind very, very soon. And I said, wait, what? And that caused me to panic, because hello, like, I need my eyes. And even being blind, like, I graduated first in my class legally blind. I did so much.
Talk about it.
Like, what? Yes, I was an RA, student ambassador, everything. Like, to this day, my old college sends folders to like new students and my face is on those folders. So it's insane. Damn, right. And it's funny because my sisters go there now. So it's so funny when they see my face, they're like, ew, like, you know, like, ew. But I did all that blind and stuff. And it got to a point last year in last August, so not the August that just passed, the other August, I posted it on Instagram, which is still on my account. If you scroll deep enough, you can see it. I posted a GoFundMe link. I said, hey, basically, I need help. And I thought I was just going to get like $100. But it turns out to be because my insurance didn't cover my eye surgery. They only covered it after I was already completely blind.
That's messed up.
So I posted that. And in 2 days, the $5,600 that I needed were raised.
That's incredible.
And I got way more than that. I got way more than I needed. But I put the deadline and people still kept donating. And that showed me like that I'm always going to be good in a sense. And it really showed me that God is there. And then that happened. I had to get my eye surgery in December because that's my last semester of college. So then in December, I would never forget. I got my eyes done. It was laser. It wasn't LASIK. So what they did basically was freeze my eye disease from getting worse. So they took off my cornea that never developed, placed a brand new one with a laser. And, you know, yeah, it was a disgusting process. It was so hard. It hurt OD. So then the day after my eye surgery, that week it was crazy recovering those two weeks. But the day after, I vividly remember I was in my living room. My mom had covered all the windows with like trash bags so no light comes in, you know. And for a month prior to my eye surgery, I kept hearing the word to create. And I'm like, what is going on? Like literally like a commercial in my head. To the point where I even told my mom, I was like in November, I told my mom, like, what is it? Like, I keep seeing those words. I keep hearing those words. Like, I just keep seeing that. So then the day after my surgery, I was in my living room and in the dark by myself. And I vividly hear God. I've only heard God speak to me twice, but I vividly hear God speak to me and tell me like, so now that I gave you your eyesight back, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, okay, no pressure. I was like, all right, great. This is beautiful. You know, like I was so stressed. I was like, oh, wow.
I just got chills. And it's not just because the AC is blasting.
That is so annoying. It's true. Like I've only heard God speak to me twice. Once when I was 12 and it was the day after I got baptized and then the day after my surgery. And he literally told me, so now that I gave you your eyesight back, what are you going to do with it? I created you to create. And although you were blind, you always had a clear vision. And I heard those words. I cried like a baby. That was like my first decision. Mind you, my eyes were burning because I just got an eye surgery done, but I was crying. And from there, everything happened so naturally. Because if you would have had this podcast with me about a year ago, I've never, all my friends know this. My family knows this. I never said I wanted to be a CEO. I never said I wanted to have a company. The only company that I wanted that everyone knew was a fashion label. And I don't even have a fashion label yet. You get what I mean? Like, that's like the last on my checklist. Like, I'm gonna drop that when I'm like 26, you know, later on. But for God to like tell me, so boom, this is what happened and this is what you gotta do now, is like, damn, how do I adjust the life that I wanted for myself and like erase that and like do what God wants me to do? So that's what I was presented with, because I never, Created to Create was never thought of before that eye surgery, like never. And then the eye surgery happened in December and I launched January, because right after my eye surgery, in the dark, in my house, that's when I got all the ideas. That's when everything happened. I prayed a lot and God told me, so boom, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do this, you're gonna do this, you're gonna add this and execute this. And I'm just like, okay, cool. And it just fell into place. But yeah, it wasn't something that, oh, high school me, I know I'm gonna own a networking company, I want to own a network, bro. No, like, and I'm very dominant, but even being so dominant and like such an alpha female, I never wanted to be a CEO. Yeah,
you are just so incredible. Like, I don't think you understand how amazed I am right now. You just blew my mind. You went from being almost completely blind. You got your surgery, you got words from God that then propelled you into the work you were doing today. And I'm on your page right now, and I just came across one of your posts from July. It says, it doesn't matter how oversaturated the market is, if God called you to it, there's room. Mm-hmm. And I think that perfectly summarizes a big part of your journey.
Yep. Wait, you're on this past July. I'm gonna send you the post as well. You're gonna be shocked. I look back at like how everything has played out and like to this day, and I think I'm 100% like chill, humble body. I'm not everything I do is for motivational reasons. Like, it's not like to brag, it's not for any of that. And I just, even to this day, I'm shocked. Like, I just can't believe that everything has played out the way that it's played out. Like, for real, for real. Like, I still can't believe people. And I think that even gave me more, like, more reassurance in myself that so many strangers that I did not know donated money. The biggest donation that you know, shook me was my old job. So the Crazy Rich Asians job with the flowers. They donated $1,000. So they called me. I will never forget that moment. Yeah. They called me and they were like, wait, are you blind for real? Because again, when I was going through all this from 16 to 22, I never in my life told anybody that I was going through that. Like, only people that knew were my exes and my best friends and my family. No one knew. Everybody on Instagram knew me as, oh, the girl who was a blogger or who posted an outfit here and there, you know? Mm-hmm. When I posted it on, and they didn't even know, because why am I going to tell my employer that I'm legally blind? Like, make it make sense. I can't do that. So I didn't tell them anything. So they called me shocked and they were like, we just seen your Instagram post. Are you serious right now? Like, are you actually blind? I'm like, yes, I have the paperwork. I've been blind for the past 2 years working for you guys. And they were like, oh my God. And they were like in shock and they donated $1,000. It's a, their family, like a, they're ran by the dad and then the son, and the dad and the son gave $1,000 to my eyes. And I started crying immediately. My mom started crying and they were like, we can't believe that you've been blind this entire time.
Yeah. And you still managed to put out that level of work consistent, and you didn't use it as an excuse for anything.
No, not
you
at
just
all.
Kept powering through.
I didn't want to tell nobody. Like, honestly, if it wasn't for God placing me in that, like, eye, so you're gonna need the eye surgery and you don't got the money for it. Because if I had the money for it, like, nobody would have known about my eyes to this day. I promise to God, like, I wouldn't told anybody. I just wouldn't have. But the way things happen, and everything happens for a reason, so I'm not even mad at it. But my first option wasn't doing that. Like, my best friends knew that I needed to get the eye surgery, and they were like, okay, we're waiting for you to make the GoFundMe. It took me about 2 weeks to make that GoFundMe, like, because I didn't want to put myself out there. I didn't want that, but I didn't have a choice. It was that or lose my eyesight. And I'm not trying to lose my eyesight, so I had to.
Yeah, you love fashion way too much, and you rely on your eyesight.
Yeah,
for too much to lose it.
I couldn't. It was OD.
Wow, I'm just in awe right okay. now of you. Wow,
it's fine.
Wow.
It's okay.
No, it's not. It's not a sense of like pity or anything. I don't feel bad for you. I'm amazed by you.
No, I know.
I'm amazed by you. Like, what?
I know, and I don't.
Like, it still does. It almost doesn't compute for me. Mm-hmm. The accomplishments you've had so far, and you are just beginning. You are just starting.
Yeah.
Now, you had a community of people around you, perfect strangers, a lot of them.
Yeah, facts.
Who saw you in need and poured into you financially through support, through words of kindness and motivation. And that says a lot. It says so much about your character and who you are as a person, the effect you've had on them, where they would see it perfectly fine and fit to support you to this degree with something so intimate and personal.
Yeah, well,
I know for a fact that doesn't get lost on you. Like, you have, that has to be something that's recurring in your head at all times.
100% it is. And every plays in my mind so much. That's why I did the networking company too. So yeah, God told me what he told me. Because a lot of times God speaks to a lot of us and we don't listen. Like, it's a human scent to not listen. Like, I, half of my life, I didn't listen. I was an atheist for 3 years. My life is wild. My life is very wild. Mm. And I didn't listen. And I rebelled so much against God. But when I heard that recently, I felt like it's what I had to do. Like, I'm not saying that in a negative way, in a very positive way. When God told me, so boom, this is what you got to do, because you just got to do that. My response in my actions and the way I act and everything, it was just, it was a given. And the reason it was a given is because literally these strangers gave me something that I would never be able to repay them for, which is my eyesight. So by me having my networking company now and by me doing everything, I want to be able to throw events for people that change their lives in ways that my life was changed. Like, I know a lot of cool people. I know designers at Nike. I know friends that work in marketing, that are chefs, that are this, that are that. Although, like, I know all of those people, I have those friends that they don't know how to network and they don't know how to put themselves out there. So by me making my company, is like me giving them what they gave back to me.
Returning the favor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a never-ending favor because you can come to one of my events and you can find your business partner, or you can come to my events and you can find your somebody's son or somebody's daughter, whatever. But you still get a gift. You get somebody.
Business.
Exactly. So Christian Mingle or Document Me or LinkedIn. So that's like the goal. And that's what, you know, that's what I'm trying to build. And when I launched, actually, to give back, a big part of my launch, everyone was like, it's your birthday, stop, you shouldn't be paying, whatever. I covered everything and I gifted all my guests like merch. So, and that's things that I'm just gonna keep doing that. Like, I just like giving back because so many people give to me.
That's such a beautiful part of who you are. You are so full of gratitude and selflessness.
Yeah.
You saw what the world was able to provide for you, what God was able to provide for you, and you took it upon yourself to return the favor, continue to pay it forward. You're actively changing lives because yours was changed.
Mm-hmm. That's 100%. Wow. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
What tips would you give to somebody who genuinely is trying to like build an aesthetic for their social media presence, or they just want their Instagram to look a certain way? Because that's been a very common thing now. Once upon a time, when Tumblr was a big thing or Visco was a big thing, people were very specific about what they posted on there. But now it's migrated over to Instagram, where you have people's pages being like themed a certain way or having different seasons, so to speak, to go back to what you were saying about being a flower. What kind of advice would you give to them?
I would say find whatever you like and just dwell off that. Like, my favorite color is orange, and whatever account you go to that's related to me, you see orange. Unless it's a client's account, because I do manage brands. I remove my bias completely when I manage a brand, and I execute whatever they like in the colors that they like. I just execute amazing work. But for my personal brands, you look and it's orange. There's orange and emerald. It's orange on my real page with green. Mm-hmm. I like orange. So that's the filters that I use. It's how I edit. It's how I figure out my vibe. What helped a lot, accounts that have helped me like look at aesthetics and see different aesthetics, have been like, there's an account called like Visco Filters or like those Visco Themes or whatever. Like, literally your page is just named that, and you click that, you find it on Instagram, and it shows you like four different random images with the same filters applied to each of them. So you get to see the vibe before you even execute it on your page.
Got it.
So that it shows you, like, if you want to go for like a warm vibe, it tells you how to edit the pictures in the Visco app, which is a free app, and what filter to use to adjust and stuff like that to make all your pictures look the same. And once you do that with one picture in Visco, you copy and paste it, and you can copy and paste it to all your images, which is what I do with my pictures on my personal. It's the same filter. I just literally copy and paste.
I've got to ask, now that you said you apply this filter and you basically mastered color correction, what is your skincare routine? Because that
is so annoying.
This is a serious question, because once people do find your page, they're going to wonder the same thing. So I'm just getting ahead of the ball.
My skincare recently is, I've been caring more, if I can be honest with you. Like, I did so much makeup for so much time and I wouldn't give a crap about my skin. But as of now, I used to work at Q, like retail. So I have
that's awesome. They do skincare, right?
Yeah, it's like amazing skincare. It's really expensive, but like, it's really good. So I use some of their stuff. Mm-hmm. And then what helps me a lot is like oils. So I use oil. There's also, because you can find different alternatives. You don't have to use Kiehl's. Like, I use either Rite Aid or Kiehl's, like whichever one I find first in my house. Like, I have so many products that it's like, all right, whichever one I grab first. Like, it's not like I'm picky, you know? But I always do a serum. So this is like the steps that I would tell people to do. A serum, then I do, this is not really in order, so don't judge me, but like, this is just the things that I use. A serum, under eye cream, or and a mask. So I do those three things like every night, I would say, and morning. A lot of the times I do it every single night, and mornings I'll probably do it like every other morning or like when I remember. I try to do religiously at night because of the day that I have. In the morning, like before I start my day and stuff, I wash my face, but I a lot of the times I wouldn't spend like minutes just like doing my skincare, but as of recently, I've made it a priority, like in the morning and in the night, because I realized that since I'm always doing something for other people, like those are the only times that I have to myself. So yeah. And I use a jade roller. So I use a little roll thing on my face.
And now that we're on the topic of schedules, what are routines? What does an average day look like for you since you have so many different things that you have to take care of?
Bro, I hate this question because I don't even know. Okay, so
if there's even an average day.
Nah, there is, but it's just really draining. But there is. I wake up, I read the Bible first. That's what I do every single day. Mm-hmm. Before looking at Instagram, before looking at Twitter, before posting anything, I open the Bible app. And I made that a priority as of like the last 2 months, 3 months. Because it's just like, nah, if I don't do it in the morning or if I don't do it during the day, I'm just not going to do it, you know? And then I question. So I read the word. Then I will sometimes get out of bed and work out sometimes in the morning. Because I realize if I work out in the morning, I have more energy to do what I got to do throughout the day. Like sit on a desk and just get my stuff done. So sometimes I work out a lot of times. Then from there, I should eat, but I do not, which I have to start doing. I forget to eat, which is really, really bad. Then I just, after I read the word and I work out and stuff like that, I look at what I have planned for the day and I'll probably write the list on like a journal.
A planner? Okay.
I have a planner app. Yeah. So okay. I have a planner app that tells me like, hey, you have to post for this person at this time. You have to post this at this time. You have to do this. You have to do it. Like it literally tells me all my clients' posting times. And then it tells me like what I have to do for my personal stuff. So I have an app, but then I also have a journal. Like yesterday I did it on an index card that I just wrote all my clients' names and I crossed it out as I finished my assignments. So I do stuff like that. That takes me from like anywhere from 5 to 6 hours because I have to legit create content for so many accounts. Like I don't think people understand like the what goes behind it, but and it's cool. Like I don't care to explain either. I'm just like whatever. Like if you think that what I'm doing is not a job, it's cool. I'm gonna get a check regardless.
Exactly. You have to explain yourself to
exactly.
Anybody.
Exactly. Like, that's how I pay my bills, so it's fine. Like you know, and I just create content. So if a company's colors, let's say it's blue and yellow, so I design a graphic that's blue and yellow. It's a lot of graphic design behind what I do, and I just sit there, spend 5 to 6 hours doing that. Then I copyright because I have to do the captions, and then after the captions, I post. And that's what I do. And then after that, before I used to be really bad. I used to have no limit. I used to work till like 10 p.m., even 2 a.m. Like I used to just keep working. Exactly. But recently I realized I couldn't do that because it drains you so much. So I just like my cutoff time is 5 p.m. and I'm very strict on that with my clients. I'm like, look, after 5, do not contact me if it's work related. Like I do not want to talk. I have a work phone now that I turn off after 5 o'clock, and I just turn it off.
Look at you.
Oh yeah, and then I'll open it the next day, and I'm just like, hi guys. Like I told you, and when we have contracts, we have guidelines. They sign it off when they become my client, and they know that after 5, I don't speak to you. So that happens, and then but every day is different, you know. So if something happens like an emergency, and I have to extend my time working, then I extend it because you know I can't tend to my stuff during the morning. But yeah, and then after that, I just chill and I watch a lot of YouTube. I don't really watch TV. I watch YouTube. I like a lot of like home tours. Like I would spend either watching home tours or like Netflix. I watch like home shows. So like how they remodel homes and stuff like that. I like stuff like that. Or like $1 million houses. I like watching a lot of stuff like that. So yeah. And then somewhere I eat. I have an alarm to eat and I sometimes lose it.
Yeah, I was about to say like she didn't mention a meal yet.
Nah, bro. Somewhere around that time I eat. Sometimes I eat on schedule. Like I literally have alarm slots to eat during my day. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. And yeah. And then I work on C2C stuff. So I have to plan out the content. My girls post, which is amazing. Like my team posts, but I have to find the pictures. I have to edit them. I do all that and I organize them. So then when all they have to do is just write a caption and post it. So yeah, that's what we do. That's how we do.
Got it. I'm so happy you have a team around you because the amount of work you just said and presented that you do, it requires a team.
That does. 100%.
Like, it's possible to do it by yourself, but not without losing your mind.
Like in the beginning, I didn't have a team. So I was like, what are we doing? And I was handling the takeovers. I was handling everything. Like even till now, like anybody that does a takeover, which you're going to do a takeover because you just have to.
I got you.
Everybody who does a takeover is just like, we speak prior to. I have to get on a call with them and then we schedule it. But yeah, it's a lot. It's tough. But a good lot.
Me and Elise, I'm just so, I'm inspired. I'm in awe. I am amazed, flabbergasted. I am just like, your online presence is already impressive enough. The way you present yourself is already impressive enough. It's regal, it's elegant. And then now speaking to you one-on-one, you just raise the bar even higher. You are exceptional. I hope you're told that every single day.
Lord.
I hope people tell you they appreciate the work you do, both in and out of the workplace.
Yeah.
I hope your mom is exceptionally proud of you. I hope you are proud of yourself.
Yeah.
I'm so happy you take time to take care of yourself. You have a team around you and you understand you have to be able to shift certain responsibilities so you can look out for yourself. You have a hard deadline of 5 p.m. Disrupt me after that.
Yeah.
A lot of entrepreneurs aren't able, or they're not very good at setting those boundaries for the sake of self-care. They just think it's just a constant hamster wheel of like, oh, rise and grind. I gotta work. No, you will burn out. You will burn out.
Yeah.
Especially if you start this work in your 20s.
I used to burn out. Like, it was really bad.
Man.
It's so draining.
And there goes the keyboard. I know you're already at your workstation, which I've had. And you,
bro,
that's a story. That's a dope setup.
Thank you. I'm happy that I invested in it. No, I'm sitting here. My mad people are like blowing on my line. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm recording a podcast. I literally just said, I'm like, yo, please let me breathe. I did most of my work that I had to do today, this morning. So even before getting on this, like, on our call, that's what we're doing. But I'm happy and I'm excited. I don't really like saying like I do this or I get this done or whatever. I don't know. I feel like no matter how big I get, because I know I'm gonna get big, and I'm not gonna.
Of course.
I'm gonna get huge, but it's obviously through hard work. It's obviously through connections. Like, that's a gift that only God has given me. Like, I can be in a room with freaking Beyonce, and I'll look at her and be like, "Yo, I really like your shoes." Like, I wouldn't drop dead. I wouldn't. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm just gonna be like, "Okay, your shoes are fire. Like, where did you get them?" You know, that's just me. And I would never forget. I met Tyra Banks and I said that to her. I literally said those words to her. I looked at her because at my old job, I was like in charge of like celebrity affairs and stuff like that, getting stuff done, like with high clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at her and I was like, what was it? It was like, you know, when she did America's Next Top Model, and it was like,
of course,
in my hand, I have two cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I said those same lines to her, and she looked at me and she started dying. And I took a picture of her that day and I posted it, and I'll never forget. I reposted it like recently, and I was like, whenever I'm having a bad day, I just remember that I was this close to Tyra Banks. And she commented and she was like, I remember you. Like, she's like, I really do remember you, and in your spirit and everything. And I was like, this is so cool. But I like being chill. I like that chill side of me. I don't want it to ever leave. I don't want money to change that, and it won't. And I don't want like fame to change that, which it won't. Like, I just want to stay the same, and I want to be able to be me, no matter what stage I find myself in or like room I find myself in. Like, I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, it's a girl from the Bronx. that's my goal.
Man, me and Alice, you're just everything and then some. You're everything and then some.
Thank you.
I want to thank you so much, so, so much for getting on this call with me, getting on this podcast with me, and sharing your story, sharing your knowledge and your
time.
Thank
you for having me.
It's an honor. It's an honor. Truthfully. Now is your time. Go ahead and plug whatever businesses you're running, different organizations, any events, any merchandise or products you would like to promote. Now is your time. Go ahead and let the people know what you're up to.
So, hi guys. Follow. I don't care if y'all follow me. I really don't care if you follow me. But
I
if
do.
You
want y'all better to follow her.
Shut up. If you want, follow C2C, which is C2C.NYC. It stands for Created to Create. And two, like number two. So C, number two, then C.NYC. And then my gram is By the Mill. It's whatever. I don't care if you have all that. Then also, just stay tuned. We have a lot of things coming for C2C. I'm building a website right now. So it's going to be basically a directory of creatives. So like, if you need somebody to help you, not just creatives, just a directory of people of color. So like, if you need a lawyer, boom, find it. If you need everybody everybody that's done a takeover on my account, I'm putting them on a website. It's a catalog of people of color or minorities with their email, Instagrams, numbers. So I'm working on that. That should launch in the near future. And yeah, that's what we're doing. Merch, more merch is coming. I'm always going to have merch because I'm a fashion designer. But I'm very, very excited. Conferences I have planned out for us that talk about social media, but also like mental health in the marketplace and stuff like that. So just, yeah, stay tuned.
Of course.
Stay tuned.
And I'm going to have all of the aforementioned information and links in the show notes. So there it will be easily accessible to anybody who tunes in and listens to this episode.
Yes.
If you have listened this far, then you know for a fact you have been blessed with nothing but gems and quality content. Min Alice, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I will definitely be in touch. I'm so glad we have gotten this opportunity now to connect. And I look forward to any and everything you have coming in the future. I will certainly promote it and mention it here on my show.
Thank you. I will promote you as well. And this is an amazing opportunity. I'm very excited for this to air because we're going crazy.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much. You have a great rest of your day.
God. Same to you. God bless you and be blessed. We got this. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in today. Your listenership and support are greatly appreciated. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to use the voice message feature on the Anchor app or message me on social media. You could be listening to anything in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate you. Until next time, this has been Across the Mic with Julie Otaku. Godspeed.